The truth of the matter is that this is not the first time that I'm giving this type of share over the years, but my regish about it has changed. The sign advertised hashkofas and halochas. If you would have asked me 20 years ago, I would have told you the ikra of the share is the halochas. I'm no longer convinced that that's true. Because of what I hear every single day, almost, how many people are simply in this most important area of life. Sexuality is a gift that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us. Necessary, as Chazal taught us, because the world cannot exist without it. Chazal say that Anshei Knesset HaGdoila was mispalel to remove the Yetzer Hara for sexuality, and the world stopped to function. So they asked the Ribbono Shel Olam to put it back. They removed the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. So we want to understand the Yetzer Hara of Znus, we could understand. Imagine there was a parallel taiva for Avodah Zarah. That's what existed in the world. In Chazal, Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, one was parallel for the Ribbono Shel Olam to remove that from the world. They wanted to remove this also, but the world ceased to function. So they asked the Ribbono Shel Olam to restore it. But we live in a world where notions of sexuality are so distorted. We grow up in a world with distorted notions. Worlds which takes life's most private affairs. Private does not mean embarrassing and shameful. It's private. There's nothing embarrassing and shameful about that which the Ribbono Shel Olam instituted. As the Chofetz Chaim writes in Hilchos Sukkah, we may not do anything that's repugnant in a sukkah. But to have sexual relations with a wife in a sukkah is not repugnant. It's a mitzvah. It's kedusha. And it's appropriate in a sukkah. The dirty dishes and the laundry we can't bring into the sukkah. But sexuality belongs in the sukkah. It's a mitzvah. It's kodesh. We live in a world which is so confused. And unfortunately, the confusion really besets our own machana. We grow up in our teenage years, and maybe even today in the pre-adolescent years, with distorted notions of sexuality. It leads us, unfortunately, many, to get involved in all the things that go on in the society around us. The world has changed. The world that you grew up in and the world that I grew up in are two different worlds. It's not the same world. Why? Pornography always existed. It existed. But in my day, if you wanted to access it, you had to get on the train and go down to Times Square. And it was readily available. But first of all, you had to bother with a tircha. Secondly, what are you going to do if somebody meets you there that knows you? Not so comfortable. Now, I was once collecting funds for the yeshiva 40 years ago, and I stopped in to visit a man in suburban New York. And he was in the theater bill business, in playbills. He sold advertising in playbills. So the theaters in Manhattan were his customers. So he walks into one of them. He said, listen, it wasn't an X-rated place, but it wasn't a place for yeshiva man either to be. He says, I walk in the door, and there are three teenagers from obviously yeshivish families hanging out in the lobby there. So I go over and I accosted them and I asked them, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? They were so stunned that they answered me. And I told them, he said, I learned with your father in yeshiva, your father in yeshiva, and your father in yeshiva. Not a very comfortable thing to have happen. Today, go down to Times Square. What's in Times Square today? Disney's in Times Square. But all the schmutz that was once in Times Square, now it's in our house. You go b'chadri chadorim, you press a few buttons, and you have access to it all. And how many of our teenagers are afflicted? I don't even want to project the numbers, but it's massive, Rabbi Yisrael. So that only increases the distortions. People get married, but their notions are so distorted by the world around us that they have a hard time getting their bearings straight, and many people stumble greatly in life. The things that I hear today, I didn't hear 10 years ago, I didn't hear 15 years ago. The nisyonis in this area of life where people just tumble over the deep end are common today. I won't even repeat a shayla that I had a couple of days ago that some of the therapists called me with. So let's examine a little bit, maybe another time we'll come back to it next time, also a little bit at hashkafas. But I've come to feel the hashkafas are more important than the halachas. Rather, we have to know the halachas, be mekayim the halachas. But the problem is that in many regards, it's easier to integrate the halachas and learn the halachas than it is the hashkafas. We can live our whole life being mekayim the halachas, and in the hashkafas, be in left field, be gone somewhere else. And it's, as I said, it's not shameful, it's private. Private things we don't usually talk about too much in public. Most of you probably never had a Rebbe that raised the subject in class. I have some Talmidim here. I'm the oddball Rebbe. I saw some of my Talmidim here. I know. In my class, we talked about it all. We decided that we are mature and we're going to put the subject on the table. And we didn't mince words. But most of you probably never had a Rebbe that was willing to talk about it and share. So we need, let's start off with this place here. Let's say I want to make a few points in the Hashkafas, and maybe next time we'll come back again. There's a famous Mishnah in Makkos. Rotza Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael Lefika Chirba Lehen Torah Mitzvahs. Shenemar Hashem Chofetz Naman Tzidko Yagdul Torah V'yad. And we know the great anomaly that this Mishnah presents to us. All the Mefarshim, from the Rambam and on, struggle with this Mishnah. If the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted us to be Zoicha, that we should find merit in his eyes, he should have given us 20 mitzvahs. 20 mitzvahs we could manage. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave us Taryak. That's a pretty heavy load. Somewhere or other along the way, it's not so easy to live up to all of them. So what was the point of giving us all of these mitzvahs if the point is the lezakos as he saw? Many answers. You can look in the Rambam and the last Mishnah in Makkos. The Rambam says, Mahalach. And the Sefer Milas HaTorah quotes an approach to this problem from the brother of the Gro. The brother of the Gro writes the following. Man's challenge in life is that we have religious affairs and secular affairs. And in the secular affairs, we step away from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We don't feel the presence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So what did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam do? For us, for Klal Yisrael, he made mitzvahs pervasive. There's nothing that we can do in life that is not touched by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's mitzvahs. And therefore, we have a constant awareness that we walk together with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. There's nothing that we do in this world we don't have to ask ourselves, what does the Rabbeinu Shalom want of me in this setting, in this situation? And therefore we feel the presence of Shekhinah wherever we go. And that's the Rotza Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Zachos is Yisrael. If we are constantly aware of the Rabbeinu Shalom, then we're likely to do what's right. The mitzvahs provide a continuous Shevisi Hashem Neneg Disam. The fact that we have halachas in this area, which touch everything to do with intimacy, connects us with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We're not devoid of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We're not off somewhere else. We are connected with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in our intimate affairs of life. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is a shutuf in it. And therefore, it's an expression of our connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The halacha, in a certain regard, is so elegant in its simplicity. The halacha which says that at a time of intimacy we should cover ourselves. For what reason? Because we're not animals. We're in the presence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. in the presence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, there's a certain measure of tznius that's appropriate in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's presence. In our most intimate moments, at our most physical moments in life, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is with us. There's an awareness in the way that we act of the presence of Shekhinah. Such a simple idea, but so elegant. Intimacy is a chelik of avodas Hashem. It's no different than putting on tefillin, Rabbi Yisai. Service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who endowed us with sexuality? The Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I had someone come to me. He was only married a few months. And hormonally, something went off balance. The doctors figured it out. Some medicine took care of the problem. He was unable to function sexually. 3-4 months after marriage. Because hormonally, something went into imbalance. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the one that gave us this gift, that made this part of us. And we use it to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Intimacy is a chelek of Avodas Hashem. The Meshech Chochma, you can check it on the Pasuk, Vayikan es Chelkas HaSoda. I'm going to go through the whole ideas that the Meshech Chochma projects from Mea Simcha, of the greatest goyim in the history of Klal Yisrael. Super goyim. And what does he cite on this pasuk? Zohar. The Zohar states that in a place where there's not a physical relationship between ish leishto, the Shekhinah will not be present. The Shekhinah will not dwell in such a place. That's how significant this is as an avoda of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I just want to trace principally three mitzvahs that are involved. There's the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya, Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We are mitzvah to bring a zohar and a keva into this world. That's one aspect of our intimate lives. There's the second of L'Erev Tanach Yadecha, that after we have brought forth a zohar and a keva, a male and a female, to bring additional children into the world. There's a mitzvah derabana. And finally, there's another mitzvah deraisa, mitzvahs oina. Mitzvahs oina is the responsibility that we have to meet our wife's sexual needs. It's our obligation to meet her sexual needs. Right? We have all types of needs in the world. If I'm hungry, listen, I can go home, and my wife can give me supper, I can go to the restaurant. I have a lot of places. This is a need in life that there's only one place to go for. So the Rabbeinu Shalom placed that responsibility upon us, a mitzvah, you know, to meet our sexual needs. And it's a mitzvah deraisa. The inyan of mitzvah, you know, is really two parts to it. One is, as I mentioned, the gemilas chesed, the gemilas chasodim. A person has a need, she has a need to take care of her need. Secondly, what does the Torah write in its description of the life of Ben Ish Leishto? Of its Vidobak Beishto. Rav Aaron Kotler, Zeichet Tzadik Levrocha. If I told you Chiddush and Chardel from him, you'd believe me. But if I tell you Chiddush and sexuality from him, you'd be surprised. But Rav Aaron Kotler said, what is the mitzvah? Mitzvah's Aina is defined by the Torah Vidobak Beishto. Sexuality brings with it a dveikus. As Rashi writes, came with shaguf, nenem and aguf, we're physical beings. And with this physical pleasure, it produces a bond between people. Mitzvahs oina is to heighten the dveikus, the attachment, the closeness, the unity of husband and wife. And that's why in the human realm, sexuality is not only limited to period of arrivia. Even at such times, then there won't be period of arrivia. She's pregnant, she's older, at a time she's nursing. It's not relevant. Mitzvah's owner was created for the Dovak Pi'ishta. The know, we would like to do mitzvahs l'shem shamayim. No, to put on tefillin in the morning l'shem shamayim, possible, I can imagine. For our sexuality, the l'shem shamayim, not so easy. Kosov, kosov, listen, it's a pleasurable activity. You have reason to do it as long as if it's not osur, even not l'shem shamayim, l'shem myself. But in the sense that we're sensitive to so many aspects of it, we're sensitive to the mitzvah's owners, my responsibility to my wife. I once told a frum psychologist, a Ventura, he said, probably the closest that we could come to having the Shem Shemayim in mitzvah's ayinah is when our wife is in the mood and we're not. That's the closest we could come to being involved in the Shem Shemayim. When we transcend ourselves. It's not in my interest presently, at the moment. Not so inclined. And there's one other aspect of the Shem Shemayim. Chazal tell us that among the things that we owe Koras HaTov to our wives, that they keep us away, Meginus Menachet. They keep us away from sinfulness. It's a nasty world out there, I will say. Without this aspect of a relationship, where would we be and what would we do? And Rabbi Yisai, I'm afraid I know the answer too well. And that's also a chelek of the Shem Shemayim. We live in a world which is so saturated in taivus, it's hard to have our bearings. Yet, if we indulge in a fashion, and even if it's self-indulgent, but we hope that thereby we will not be inclined to act b'iser, to do something we're not supposed to do, that's also the Shem Shemayim. It's a very, very big the Shem Shemayim today. It's consistent with the kavanas that the Raiva talks about in Balei HaNefesh. But we need, Rabbi Yisai, to be chayzer for ourselves. It is a chelek of Avodas Hashem. It's the deepest expression of both of our humanity and ourselves as Tzelem Elokim. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is together with us. The Shechinah is present. If we approach it from that standpoint, then we'll realize that we are very, very far from the world around us. But it's something, this chelek and asher, I think is more important that you do chazar on this part than anything else I'm going to tell you. Because the nesiyonos are hot and heavy out there, Rabbi Yisai. Hot and heavy. And in one moment, we could lose ourselves. If we're not very, very focused on what this part of our life is about. That's what I want to say about the hashkofas today. And as I say, my regish is that this part is more important than all the halachas. I will go over many things. Some of them will be obvious to you, some may not be so obvious to you. And probably the closer you are, the more recently you were married, the more obvious they'll be to you. After you're married a number of years, you know, a Chassidish fellow that I know came over to me one day, years back, and he says, Kveder Rav, he says, could you give me a beit chazor of Hilchos Nida? He says, it kamat hasn't been relevant in my life for the last 10 years. My wife has been busy having children, you know. So I just need, just give me a basic chazor from the ground up, from Aleph Pistof, the basics. You know, so when you're recently married, you know, you just went through the Shulchan Aruch, you focus, you know, after a few kids and whatever, nursing. So go over basic things, and for those that know them, we'll be a reminder. For those that they're a little bit out of focus, we'll bring them back into focus. Start off with Inyan of Vestas. So we know Vestas are the halachas mit the rabbanon. We have to anticipate when the Vestas is going to come. We have to be perish. Now, it's important I think the Chochmas Adam stresses this. It's important really to keep a written record of the Vestas. Have a calendar, a special calendar, and enter them. Because Vestas get complicated. And sometimes you have to go back over many, many months to see certain patterns. You just can't see them in a month or two. And there are some complicated Vestas too. Now, you should indicate if the Vest began at night or the daytime. Because Vestas, the Prisha of Vestas, goes on a night or a day. Now, it's also, which is common, that when Vestas begin, they often begin with a certain measure of staining, and after that they develop into a full flow. Not all women are that way, but many are. We should keep a record of when the staining started and when the actual flow started. It could be relevant to the next month to knowing what the halacha is going to be. You know, if we oftentimes, you know, we assume on the first spot of blood and put that down as the vest, that may not be the vest. So when the staining begins, we should note. And if there's an actual flow, a heavy flow that begins, we should note that also. And note which is which, so that when you come to ask a shayla about the vest, is the rov can lock in on exactly what took place. Now, how to determine sometimes when the vest is not so simple. Let's say you wake up in the morning. Last night she went to sleep and she didn't have a vest. She woke up in the morning and the vest has arrived. But now, it's, you know, the summer months, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. The day started hours ago. So was it a nighttime vest, a daytime vest? Which do I assume? So here we follow, we have the principle of chazaka. And we assume that it changed at the last possible moment. So we assume that it changed in the daytime. It didn't change at night. Now, if she sees an amount of dam which is present, which is inconsistent with it having started in the daytime, it's half an hour since the day began, and it's a lot of dam, it obviously didn't happen in this half an hour, so then I know what happened at night by observation of the metzius. Now, sometimes you could have a case that she knows she became an eider. It's the middle of the night, and she didn't bother to get up, and she really doesn't know afterwards, was it the day or was it the night? I was aware when it happened. I just wasn't aware if it was day or night. So the halacha is that you have to be machmer to keep both the day and the night in that case. The other case was she was not aware when it happened. When she woke up, now she found it. So I assume it happened in the daytime. Now what do we have to do during a time? I'll go over some of the basic vestas a little bit later in the shiur. What do we have to do at a time that we anticipate the vest? So, two things basically. Now, the Chavas Das wrote something, and don't get frightened by this. Well, they're going to adjust this in a moment, but the Chavas Das wrote that during the entire time of the vest, the woman has to go around with a mechdochok. Now, that would be pretty burdensome for most women and pretty irritating. So, Rav Moshe Zatzal said that we should not go about it in that way, but rather a woman should wear white underwear, levonim, and she has to check them. This is an important point, it's not always realized. Whatever we wear levonim, the reason for it is, as Rashi says in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, it's a form of bedika, of checking. It's not just a gzeras hakosav that we are white, and that's all, and we go on. No, at the night time, at the end of the day, you have to check them to see if there was any staining. That's the whole point in wearing them. Whenever you wear them, whether you wear them during the Zayin Akiyam, whether you wear them in a Yom HaVest, whenever you wear the bottom, it's so that at nighttime you take them off and you check them to see if there was any nidus, any big staining which took place. So Rav Moshe said that a day of a vest, whenever the vest is a night vest, that she should wear white underwear, and at the end of the day, check it. Now, what's also necessary is, and we'll come to when, but whenever there's a vest, we have to do a bedika to check to see if the vest came at this time or it didn't come. Because the vest does not always mean that we have a massive amount of blood. It could be a very small, a few drops, and it's still internal. So we have to see if the vest came. So principally, near the end of the vest, she should do one internal bedika. not of the mindset to do more than one bedika, even on a Beinaris, but near, so for a daytime vest, it should be in the latter part of the day, probably from Plaga Mincha on near the end of the day. And on a nighttime vest, once she gets up in the morning, she should do it, if she's sleeping through the night. And that's when she should do it. But now, this is a very, very critical factor, because there is a chash that she may be totally osur if she doesn't do a bedika. Because what did the Achronim write? The Achronim wrote the following. They were nogu lehokel in many places if they didn't do a bedika, because they assumed that a woman, as Shas writes in the beginning of Masechtani, that a certain hargosha, certain feelings, which they associated with the onset of the needles. Now, as we know, that it's already a very many, many generations, hundreds of years perhaps, that women are not that sensitive to these particular bodily simonim, that they associate them clearly, they know what hargosha is. So by and large, they don't know what hargosha is. So in the time of our earlier times, if a person knew what the hargosha was, so they knew they didn't have the hargosha, so they knew there weren't any either. But since we're not tuned into the hargosha, so basically it doesn't mean that there is no hargosha, that's a shmooze for another time. But it means that we just don't pick up on what it is. I can experience something, but I don't correlate that experience closely enough with the onset of needs. I don't realize that it's taking place. So consequently, if the vest came, she wouldn't know it. It's not, she has no raya that she didn't come. She wouldn't know if she came or it didn't come. And consequently, it's obligatory to do a bedika at the end of the vest. In other words, the end of the anticipated vest. The prisha somoch levest, so at the end of the time of the prisha, if she didn't get a period, she has to do a bedika before she decides she's muteris. This is a very, very important halacha. And often not properly fulfilled. People are oftentimes don't realize that this is, you know, part and parcel of what's necessary in running a vest. Now, what are the basic vestas? I cannot teach you conceivably all of Simon Kuf Pei Tes Aregalachas. I wouldn't attempt it. There are many, many complex vestas. I'll tell you the basic ones. But the truth of the matter is, you should be brave enough to take out the Shulchan Aruch, and I see most of the Olam is B'nai Torah. So be brave enough to take out the Shulchan Aruch and learn Siman Kuf Pei Tes. You don't necessarily in life have to know the answer to all the Shailas, but you have to be sophisticated enough to know what the Shailas are. So the basic vestas are Hafloga, which is how many days have elapsed between one vest and the next. So the way to count that is the day that she gets the vest is day one, and the day she gets the next vest is both the last day of this cycle and day one of the next cycle. So if she got it, let's say, four Sundays apart from each other, so that's 29 days, the first day and last day being part of the cheshbon, and the fourth Sunday is now day one of the next cycle. So that's vest afloga. That we certainly have to, that one we certainly have to keep cheshbon of under all circumstances. Now that's particularly, we're assuming, by and large, there are very, very few women that meet the requirements of a halachically regular vest, of a vest kavua. Very, very few. Why that is, nobody knows. What we do know is 100 years ago in Europe, it was the norm to have a vest kavua earlier. And somewhere in the last 100 years it disappeared. Why it disappeared, we don't know. But the facts we do know. Of all the women, I think, that Rav Bozhna Bnei Brak had, I think he had only one that had a real vest kavua. A rare thing. So therefore, we'll touch a little bit later on vest kavua. So we're more concerned with a vest she'eino kavua means that it's irregular. It doesn't have a fixed pattern to it. So the first thing we have to keep track of is how many days were there in this cycle. So we know in the next time round, we're going to have to be concerned for that day. Then we have vest achodesh, which means, is it the same day of the month the Jewish calendar. Right? If it was Zion this month, so as to, we have to be concerned for Zion next month. Maybe that's the cycle that it's going to take. And then finally is the Ein HaBeinonis. Ein HaBeinonis will assume the Iker LaHalocha, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein's Atzal, is like the sheet that it's the 30th day. The 31st day is a Chumrah. So, Chumras, I'm not here to tell you to keep or not to keep. You know, everything in life, we can always go up in our service of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And probably in our earlier years in life, we should be less inclined to be involved in chumras. And as life goes on, we could become a little bit more machmer. You know, but that's with tremendous judicious sense and the realization that that's a decision to be made by two people. You know, it's not a decision I can make on my own. My partner has to be equally willing and share my particular view, or I have no right to impose a chumra on them. We have, there's another chumrah. It's a chumrah, but when to keep it, but not to keep it, that's a private discussion. It's one of the more popular chumras in this country, and that is the chumrah of the Or HaZeruah. The Or HaZeruah held that the oina before the vest, in other words, let's say she's anticipating the vest tomorrow morning. So according to the Or HaZeruah, the night before, I also have to be Parish. If she's anticipating a night vest, so the morning, the day before, I have to be Parish. So this is a chumrah, whatever, the Shach goes through reasons for it, but it's one of the more commonly kept chumras. My advice to you is one very important thing. Any chumrah that you accept upon yourself, matoy v'manon. But you should accept it b'li nedar. Because you're talking sheyovo hayoyim, that the day will come that you want to be mekel for a certain reason. You know, you've been keeping the chumra sarazaroa, yeah. But now, tomorrow you're going out of town. And you'll be gone for 2 weeks. And you haven't been together with your wife for 5 days. So you may decide that it's psyosha that you should be mekel. So if you are mekabel at b'li neder, so leitz atzorech, then you have a right to be mekel. If you're not mekabel at chumrah b'li neder, then you have a problem with atoros nedar. So that's important. Now what happens if the days of the... Rabbi say, you can interrupt me with questions, it's okay. I don't mind. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask. Yes.
Yeah.
The day of the vest counts as the last day of the last cycle and the first of the next cycle.
In terms of the form of the Arzurua, is there a difference between if it was a day or a night?
Is there a difference? The halacha is no difference. What you want to be makabal upon yourself could be different for obvious reasons. But that's, you know. If you're a makabalah, there's a chumrah. You may keep a chumrah where it's appropriate and where it's not, and where it's inappropriate, you won't, you know. But that's... Yeah. There is the sheet. There's a sheet. There's the Balatanya, and I'm not referring to the Balatanya who wrote the Rav Shulchan Aruch. A tremendous goyim, but that's not. There's a Balatanya of the Rishonim, and the Balatanya of the Rishonim has a shita that the Ein HaBeinonis is 24 hours. That they are noyed like that in Eretz Yisrael. It is not on the Seder here to follow that particular shita. So that's, there is such a shita, but it's not. That's not normally what's nohuk here, and in Eretz Yisrael, to the contrary, it's very nohuk. You know, well, Yoshev, I believe, was pretty stark about it. In other words, he held like the Shittas Balatanya. And Moshe Feinstein did not.
What happened when the Leil Tefillah falls out of Yom HaVest?
If it's you're talking of the Oros HaRuah's vest or the vest itself? On the Oros HaRuah's vest, if you want to burn Mekabel as a din, but rather you Mekabel only as a Chumrah, B'li Neder, that you'd be Mekel. Certainly would be Nidcha. The actual vest would not Mekel.
Is she supposed to go to Mekel or is she not?
Let her go. There's no reason she can't go. But, you know, we'll come back to that in a little bit, but there's no reason she, that she has to wait. Yeah.
If you have one period during the day and then the next one at night, so for the Hafloga, what do you keep for the next one?
The Hafloga goes by the calendar day. And the one, then one, do you follow for the next one, whatever the last one was? Whether it was day or night, whenever it is, that's when you count for all the Prisha. Good? I see you look puzzled.
You don't go by the 12-hour period.
No, we don't count 12-hour periods. In the terms of the days of the Hafloga, it's by calendar days. But then which, if it's night or day, depends if it was night or day. Yeah.
The Chumrah
of Ramosha? Ramosha has a Chumrah. Also, Ramosha... Well, because Ramosha had the Balatanya held that it was unique to Ayin HaBeinonis. Ayin HaBeinonis is, we don't know when it's going to come. It could come at any time during that day. So he held that's a special dinner in Ayin HaBeinonis. It was not true in any other Ayin according to the Balatanya. Ramosha's observation was the following. If you were, what did the Shach do with Oros HaRuah? The Shach explained to Oros HaRuah that basically you have to be Pirish Somuch Levest. So when a woman had a vest kavua, as Ramosha Halberstam said, someone described it, he said, there was a woman, she got a vest every fourth Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning. He says, you could set your watch on the way when her cycle came. That's how precise it was. Exact. So then the Somuch Levest was the time of the day before that. But the Shach says in his time already, it moved around during the day. So even the beginning of the day was the vest. So when was the Somuch Levest or was the Ruah held? Was the night before was the Somuch Levest. Ramosha Zatzal made a further observation. Ramosha and his observation saw that what was true in the Shach's time is no longer true today in his observation. And he felt that the Vestas, all the Vestas move around in a 24-hour framework. So therefore he really expanded sort of the Shach's far and with certain limitations. But that's basically what happened. Okay, it's a chumrah. It's certainly not in the early years of being married. I don't think that you should be involved with it. Yeah? For all of them, yes. Yeah. Now, white is white. It doesn't mean beige. Beige is not white, I'll be there.
What if there's some remnants that you should bring?
You know, you have to see yourself. You know, usually you can tell the difference between what's fresh and what's old. If it reaches the point that you won't be able to see clearly anymore, then throw them out. Yeah.
The Chum of the Oros HaRuah, is that equal for each of the Vestas? Or is
I don't think so. I think the Velt is a little bit more night to the Hoka by the Hafloga than by the other Vestas in the Oros HaRuah. Obviously, the Oros HaBeinonis would be the most Chomer because you have also the context of the Balatan Yeshita. But I believe in the Hafloga, the world is most Mekel. That's what I believe I learned from our Rebbeim.
The Rebbe mentioned by the you don't do Vedika during the time of Choshesh. So are we also Choshesh? She did a Vedika, she lost it, or something like, things like that, or even going to the bathroom during the time where we Choshesh?
But that would not concern so much that it disappeared if she went. Listen, people go to the bathroom, that's all right. I mean, if you actually lost the Bedikah, come ask a Shiloh. It's a complex Shiloh. I don't think, you know, I'd have to be done on it. It depends on the case. I'm not giving an absolute sock. If it happens, come ask the Shiloh. But it's a serious Shiloh.
Should she always be looking during Yom
HaVest? Stop running Yom HaVest. When she goes to the bathroom, when she wipes, she should look to see what's going on. You know, when the time of the Tishoshes, then you should see the same way you're wearing white. You should take a look and see what's happening.
You can do
Bezika
anyway, though.
Good. So, listen. You're wearing white the whole day in case there's anything. So, it's a shot. Listen, you got to know what's going on with yourself. You know, you can't put your head in the sand. You know, especially because of the fact that we don't have our gosha. So, you have to be a little bit more sensitive to when the onset of the vest is going to come. You know, not before, but when you're anticipating, you know, something, you feel something happening, you got to be attentive.
Are you suggesting that dogs
No, when the Zionikim, I'm less concerned. No, the Zionikim, she doesn't have to. But when you're expecting the vest, it's probably a wise thing. Just so you need to be in touch with yourself. You know, what's going on.
Rosa, that she wakes up in the morning and it's too close, not the morning of yet, she assumes it's nighttime. Is there any parameters to that, of how long?
It depends on her. I can't answer you. You know, some people have light vests, some have heavy, you know. It depends. Just why do she knows herself. What?
She can trust her own
judgment. Yeah. I don't know, I shouldn't say I wish. Often people wish that we could put this religion into the halacha, into a box, where we wouldn't have to use our own wits. But it won't work. There are too many things which are dependent on judicious understanding. Yeah?
If the Bidika is forgotten or delayed at the end of the Yomah,
then she should do it as soon as she remembers afterwards, yes.
Even not on the
Onur Beinus? Even not on the Onur Beinus, yes. I have a chaver who is a dayan in Bayit Vegan today, Louis Shagai, and he wrote in a sefer once that if you didn't do a bedika, is a surah lebayla kanida. So Ramosh Halbishtam chastised him. He said the loshen is not, it's too strong. It's a serious shayla, but you shouldn't put it in such strong terms. But the side is a very serious shayla. Now, different aspects to a vest. There's a period and the staining. If we're concerned that it's the onset of a vest itself, then there's no shear that's necessary. Even a tipas dam, the slightest tipas dam is metame. So that's a very serious consideration that you have to be very careful about, you know, especially at the time when she's expecting the vest to come. Even if you see a tipas dam, you have to be very concerned. Maybe that's the onset, maybe it's needed the rice already. Now, it's not always so simple to know. Due to varied reasons that are likely to happen in life, at times the vestas are very light. Postpartum, many women are very, very light vestas for many months. And the difference between that, there will be no perceptible difference at that point in life between what her vest is then and what staining would be at some other time in her life. This is something that I learned from very, very careful questioning of the Shayalim that came to me many years ago. And I realized that the vestas postpartum are very light vestas. And someone's going to come to tell you they're staining for a few days. They'll stain here, stain here, stain there. That's the vest. It's not staining. It's a vest. The way the body is functioning at this particular time, the vest is a very light vest. So usually in the postpartum part of life, if someone comes to me and tells me that they stained for 3 straight days, I tell them that they have to be metame themselves kanida, even though each one wasn't a shear. But that's the way. What? Until basically they're starting to get back to real normal type of cycles, you know, normal flow. But it's something you have to be very careful, and if you have shyness of staining postpartum, even a little bit, it's kedai to come ask the rov what to do. You should be perished for 24 hours, you should be makel. It's a tricky shyla. Just the metzias is a very tricky shyla. Now, you have other reasons which could lead. There are certain, you know, birth control pills that people take, which also lend themselves to very, very light staining. But it's cyclical, it's not staining, it's not breakthrough bleeding. It's the machzor, it's the vest, except it comes in a very light fashion, because that's hormonally the body's working on a different wavelength presently. So you have outside factors that you have to be very, very careful. Now, we have the following. You know, when it's a complex shayla, and there's a lot of different ways to look at it. do we have to be concerned for Vestas at a time, let's say, a woman's taking birth control pills? She hormonally is not likely to see it certain times because of what she's taking. So are we choishish for the Vestas or not? Or can we say that, listen, under the circumstances where she presently is, you know, on this Yom HaVest, since she's taking pills, she's not going to see. And I could forget about it altogether. It's a very, very, it's a complex Shaila. And this is when I was Zoicha to start spending time with Rabbi Yoshev back in Tov Shememvav. This is the first Shaila that I asked him, I think. And I'll tell you what happened. But I was so blown away, like for 2 days, I didn't know what hit me. I mamish didn't know what world I was in. I brought him a raya from a Taz that you shouldn't have to be concerned for Vestas. Can't be too bad a raya, because later on I found that Rav Vozhner and Shevet Alevi and his Chuvis, Paskins Lahalocha, are based on that Taz to be Mekel in this case. So couldn't be too bad a raya. So Rabbi Yoshev says to me, he says, are we dealing with a shayla that there's a shasat chak? In other words, it's necessary for her to conceive, to be meiko. If there's a shasat chak, maybe it could be meiko. If it's not a shasat chak, he says, the Taz is not the only interpretation. There's other shittas in how that halacha works that I brought a raya from. And he quoted the Gemara on Gittin, because it's, you know, we're inclined that they're similar. Are we ready to act? It's bar. And I didn't know what hit me. Because the Shaila was Anisa de Rabbonin, we're only dealing with Vestas, and Alachatchila. The Dievari was a Shasat Chaki, was Moida, that it's Mutta. So we're dealing in Alachatchila of Anisa de Rabbonin. And so the Raya from the Taz is a good Raya. LMI, the other approaches. I didn't know what hit me. I went around 2 days and was flying. I didn't know what world I was in. You know, the understanding of how, what it means to Paskin and Aisa Darabonon Lechatchilo, the responsibility that's involved in that, it blew me away. I did 2 days, I didn't know what world I was in. Most Murray Heroes, in fact, follow that particular approach. That Lamaisa, even though we're taking pills, that we're choishish for Vestas, as if we're not taking the pills. We factor them out. The only thing that I'm not really, that I'm not convinced of, and that I'm not, I do not have a comfortable psak with, is let's say 3 times in a row when she's taking pills, that the vest is the same, it's kavua. So there are differences. A person that has a vest kavua is only, means it came regularly. Every 32nd day she got the vest. Every Zion 7th of the month she got the vest. So she doesn't have to be concerned with the other vestas. So there's a kula, a leniency, which is involved in a vest kavua too. So the shaila is, does that leniency apply if it's created by artificial means, such as taking, you know, hormones and pills? And I'm not comfortable yet. I'm not convinced that I have a good answer to the question yet. So right now it's an open question in my mind. So at least on the Chumra Dikatzad, we make believe that we're not taking anything and we keep the Vestas. If on the Kula Dikatzad, I'm not convinced yet. Yeah.
If she sees one staining, and then she doesn't see for a long time, you're not going to count from like 9 months earlier.
Whatever that flog is, it is. If she had a vest, you can have a 9 month of flog too. There's no shit to what that flog could be. Yeah.
Does that cool apply if the staining occurs like during the breaks and stuff?
What's the? Yeah, so what I want to know what your question is yet.
Is that cooler?
Which cooler? In other words, yes. No, I'm a little bit confused. I think you mean to say that what they mean to do, make kilim hold that, let's say the person had a vest And now, according to the pills that I'm taking, I'm not going to have that vest now because of the pills that I'm taking. Well, let's say I'm taking the pill for 5 more days this month than I took it last month, so it's not going to come. So I'm mechuyev to be perish on that day. That's their issue. You know, they admit when you got the vest that you have to be choishish for that. That they'll, you know, let's say there's no, you're not doing something hormonally which won't allow you to get it next month. Now, one thing I should clarify, it is a very, very important point, and I specifically asked this to Rav Yoshev Zatzal, and that is, where if a woman's taking the pill, and then at the end of the month she goes to the placebo, so she goes off the pill, so the fact that she went off the pill is going to bring on the vest. Is that considered that it's together, is that a vest that you have to be chayishish for? So he told me, in other words, so how do I calculate that? Now that I came off it, in terms of words, how do I anticipate the vest, which is about to come? So he told me the following. He said that if it's what I would call a one-to-one relationship, meaning that Monday afternoon she came off the pill, and 48 hours later she would get, you know, the vest, then that would be, and she would be muchsik for that, then I would be mechuyev to be concerned for that 48 hours later that she's about to get a vest, mechuyev to be perish for it. But I said, usually that's not what takes place. Usually it's within a certain time frame, but we can't pin it down to one specific item. It'll happen a day and a half, 2 days later, 2.5 days later. It's not so one-to-one. It's going to happen, but when exactly it's going to happen, somewhere in here it's going to happen. So that's not begedder of vest, you're not mechuyev to be perish for that. It's a very important psak. Now, we touched upon the fact, and this there are, I mean, different views about. And let's say a woman typically has a hafloga, which is more than 30. She has 35 as her number. That's it, you know. It could be 33. Even if it's not kavua, it's between 33 and 35. But she is muchsik that she doesn't see less than 30 days. It doesn't happen. She does not see until after 30 days. So is she mechuyev to keep the vesta chaydish and the on the bainer de sanat? The Chassidim were very machmer in the Shaila, and Chavos Das was, I think the Chavos Das was machmer. Rav Moshe Zatzal wrote Lekula based on the Sidrei Torah's Psak. So there is, it's a big mokum lehokum. If the vest is kavua, then it's more than 30 days. Now, postpartum, I wouldn't be so quick to be mekel, even if she had. It's very interesting. Aruch HaShulchan writes, I think it's at the very end of Kuf Pei Tes, if I recall, but it's an Aruch HaShulchan, that if a woman had a vest kavua and then she conceived, after she gives birth, she has to be concerned again for the vest kavua. Now we, nowadays, you know, it was typical in the time of the Gemara that people did not get a vest for 24 months after they conceived. Today, 8 months, 12 months, 13 months, 14 months, they everyone has it back. Someone just came to me the other day, I was talking about this, he says, my wife got her vest back after 18 months. It was many, many years ago, a woman went to the doctor, and she was 16, 17 months or so since she gave birth, and she didn't get, cycle didn't come back. So the OBGYN told her she better start taking pills to bring it on, because otherwise it may never come back. She asked a quite a prominent rabbi, a very choshev rabbi, and he felt she should listen to the doctor. So she asked also a chavra of mine who had used to go to Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe heard it, and Rav Moshe scoffed, he left. He said, Chazal said that a woman didn't get a vest for 24 months after birth, he says. He says, there's a few healthy women left in the world whose systems still work the way the Eivishta made them originally. He says, I had a few women that had this problem. He says, and after 24 months, it came back, just like in the Gemara. They're not so many, he says. So they have a healthy woman, so what do they want to do? They want to mess around with the system, you know, to make it unhealthy like everyone else. Just leave it alone, she'll be fine. So, you know, we are chayshish, but nowadays we do get vestas in the middle of nursing. Well, that's the way the world is. So after that, consequently, that after a woman gets the first vest, after she gives birth, we're chayshish for vestas after that. Because of that, the Rosh Hashulchan says, if it was a vest kavua before conception, then we have to be choishish for that vest. Conception does not remove it. So we have to be choishish after childbirth that that vest is still there. If it's a vest she'ena kavua, so when she conceives, it goes down the tubes. We forget about it. But this is an important point for the future. Now, not that we commonly have a vest kavua, but many women who a few times in their life will get a certain vest kavua. They'll hit, you know, a few months in a row the same 32 days or whatever the vest kavua may be. So that they have to be concerned if they conceive from that. So that after the childbirth, they have to be concerned that three cycles should pass, which are inconsistent with that vest kavua, to break the vest kavua.
Once she sees birth.
Yes. She's a sulekas domin. There's no until she starts to see again. Correct. No, I would think that, and listen, in the last, you know, part of this number of months, I don't know if I would say necessarily in 3 months, but there's many months that have gone by that she doesn't, you know, see less than that. You know, she could have an oddball happening. I don't know if that changes the chazaka.
One time to break that, you could say she does see one time 30 days.
I would be chayshish, you know, if she, to see that she returned to a chazaka, but it didn't change, even if she had one time less.
What if she took medication that's supposed to bring it on earlier?
That's something else. Then I would not consider that a reyes on the chazaka.
Why is she not because of the masnachas until 3 times after?
Because we know today how it works. That's all.
Because we
know the matzias. We can't put our heads in the sand. You know, the matzias is that when it comes back and people start seeing, usually they're more spaced out. You know, a woman that sees 30 may see every 60 days. In that kufa, but we know they're going to start to see again. That's the way it works. Bismaneno, we can't, you know, ignore that fact.
If that vest is light, she only sees it because it's staining. So why should we be?
It's still a vest. It's a vest. It's cyclical. It's not. Staining is an issue that basically there was some hormonal lapse for a moment. It's not a staining. Is not a cyclical thing. Needless is a cyclical thing. There was the body built up a certain way, and then the body winds down. When you're seeing it day after day, it's not just staining. It's bedarach klal. That's the vest that you get. It means the buildup was less. I mean, what is needless? You can have, at the beginning, many women at the beginning of when the vest is about to become, they start to get browner stains. The brownish stains are a breakdown of tissues which are built up in the lining of the uterus. Now, those stains are not dam nida. It's just tissue. When the staining reaches the blood vessels which support that tissue, and they break open, then she starts to bleed. That's dam nida. So you can have, you know, sometimes the when you're getting a light period is because not so much tissue built up. It's just the system is not in full gear yet, so it built up a little bit. And then cyclically, it broke down. But you didn't have a big breakdown because they didn't have a big buildup.
Is, let's say a woman sees every 31, 32, 33, 31, 32, 33, or randomly, but only after 30 days, is that considered kavua itself?
No, it's not kavua. If it's random, it's not kavua.
It's always after 31 days.
Yes, so that's still, now what to do after the 31, let's say all the days of the vest have passed them all. She passed Beinonis, she passed the Hafloga, Chaydish, and still nothing happened. And she's not Muchsik yet to be pregnant. You find out whatever they do, whatever the tests, the sophisticated tests to establish that she's pregnant, good, fine, Matoyvim Aron. Okay, but until that didn't happen yet. So what do you have to do? So there are those that held that you mechuyev to do a v'dika koydim tashmish in such a situation, the sheet of the crazy, Ramosha Zatzal. Most poskim did not sign off on that. Most poskim held it wasn't necessary to do anything. And Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal expressed it that way once, that we're not noyig to follow that sheet. If it's a stain which makes you usser, you can start. This is an important point, and I'm glad you asked. You can often wind up with a dichotomy. that the 5 days that you have to count for the to be Mekayim the Ramah Shita can start even with the Kesa. In other words, as long as it was a halachically mandated day that it had to be Purish, it was Samach Leves. Or even, it's interesting, I was very interesting, let's say a person was Mesupik what the din was, and they were Purish Mesupik, they didn't ask a Shayla. I believe we saw that the Shevet Alevi and the Sefer is Mekel, in such a case you can count that too. In other words, as long as it was halachically mandated to be Purish at that time. Maybe you thought that's the onset of the vest, so you thought halachically you were obligated to do so. In other words, he thought that the kesem was a kesem, he thought that was the beginning of the vest. So the chayra, since you were perish for a halachic reason, but that doesn't mean if it's the onset of the vest itself, it doesn't help if it's less than a gris. What? But it doesn't make a difference. If, let's say she has all the premenstrual symptoms, right? Whatever, however she feels. And now she starts to see the tibas down. So you'll ask her. One of the things, it's not in and of itself the answer, but women generally know when they're having a vessel. Why that is, it's a different story why they know. But lemaisa, they generally know. Now that's, so when she's margish, she's getting a vessel, she usually is a pretty good idea. She knows what she's talking about. Just knows all the physical symptoms that go with it, you know, even if she can't even explain it to you fully, she just knows what it is. So if you were perished for that reason, not going to be worse than what the Shevet Alevi writes, that if a person was perished, I had a shayla and I was mesupik and I went to ask a rov, the rov said it's mutter, but meanwhile I was perished that whole day. So the Shevet Alevi wrote that it's mutter, that you can count that as part of the 5 days too, but halachically I was perished. So I can have a situation where there was a kesem today, all right, and the flow started tomorrow. So in terms of the vestus, we'll go from tomorrow's flow, but the 5 days could be from today.
And if she didn't have the real flow after that thing, and she's
so sometimes happens what you're asking is like this. Sometimes it remains like I described to you in a postpartum situation, that from that day it never got any more. She just had staining like that, light staining for a number of days. So that is the start of the vest itself.
So in a regular day, let's say regular, not postpartum, she's been having normal stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ask a shayla. I'm not going to paskin without, you know, generally. I don't want to hear more what's going on.
The Rav said that after all the vests have passed, he doesn't have to do
a bedikah. In other words, he has to do a bedikah's vest, but not because Rav Moshe was mechayev once. Yesterday was the vest, she did a bedikah, she's fine. Tonight you want to live together, you have relations with her. According to Rav Moshe, you had to do a bedikah before in Kodim Tashmash. Rabbi Yoshev was Mekel and most Rabbonim were Mekel. There is a basis to do it, but I'm just saying most of the developed is Mekel in this Shaila.
Is there a size for being Matzik and Tashmish?
That's nothing to do with that. It's nothing to do with that Shaila.
I mean, even though the Shevet HaLevi just being Mekel by Allah at first, even though that's only together a certain idea because you just don't know your.
Whatever it is! Oh, well, the Maisi were perished. The Ramah didn't. You don't. Because remember, Sof, the Ramah's point is, you the Prisha was for a halachic reason. So that's a real Prisha. But Aklap Ishmael Galia doesn't change the fact that it was Purish halachically.
So even if someone's Purish because of the vest, and like a day later she starts bleeding, that counts as the beginning of the 5 days?
If that's, in other words, if today, in other words, if it was somewhat a day that you were halachically mandated to be Purish. If it's a day that you decided to be machmir yourself, that's something else.
And then, like 2 days later, she started.
That's all. If there's a space in between, then it doesn't. Then you have to count the 5 days from then.
Even if you were still parish the whole time.
Yes, it doesn't make a difference what you do. It depends what halachically the case. What? If you kept the orzavur religiously, at least, you know, if you kept it, the orzavur would count for that too.
Ain't a chanami.
Yes, if you perish for a halachic reason, yeah.
Can you just count the giver of the Ramah or even the one you take for?
Again?
Can you count it even to take care of day four or so?
I don't know what you mean.
Let's say you get your shayla for 2 days.
L'chaira, I would not see what the difference is. Let's say you had two, I'll ask you a different question. Suppose you had two vestas back to back. No. Suppose you had two vestas back to back with each other, one day after the next. And so you were purish for the whole time. Let's say you keep the, let's say you machmer like there was a rua and you keep the balatan yeshita or whatever you kept. So you had for 48 hours, you were perish, but you perish for halachic reasons, so then you have to keep 3 days afterwards.
Even if
there
was no kesef during that time.
What? If you are, she were perish when?
Yeah, the young vest, you were perish.
Yeah.
Lechaira
would start the clock. Pasht, I would think the clock started again because Lemaisa, the Iker, there's some question. Let me just spell this out. In the Chavas Das is Mavur, Pischachua quotes it, that investors go from sunrise to sunset. In other words, even though the Chavas Das was living in Galicia, and he kept obviously the Rabbeinu Tam's man, but here it's not Nogaya. Day is sunrise to sunset. So after that, the day ends. Well, that's I'm not going to answer that, Shai, but then I'll worry when it comes, you know. There's plenty of sphakus in that area of what to do. Now, I started to tell you something. Now, what's Osir in this Man of the Vest? What's Osir? So, Doruch HaShulchan writes, again, the Ramach Miri brings a machlaikus about it, but Doruch HaShulchan is inclined lehokum, that chibuk v'nishuk, physical contact, is permissible during this Man of the Vest, even during this Man, not only Somach, but during this Man of the Vest itself. But, you have to be careful. You know, in two regards, you have to be careful. You know, you have to be careful not to be nichshel, that you don't, that it doesn't go, you know, you don't get carried away with yourself. And not to be nichshel, even if you don't get carried away, that you shouldn't be nichshel and a tozer or a matola. You got to be careful in both. So the truth of the matter is, the younger you are, the more machma you have to be. You know, that's the metzias. That's it, you know. Things change as life goes on. But the younger you are, the more machma you have to be, the more careful you have to be in the shayla. Paskin that it's mutter, and I think Rav Moshe Zatzal also held that it's mutter, but gotta be careful. Chochom ein aberration. But even during the vest, Aruch Hashulchan Paskins. You know, the Gemara says it's an instructive, it's appropriate for the share. The Gemara says in Sukkah that Abaya was walking one day, I think there was Daf Nun Gimel in Sukkah, Nun Gimel Amar Aleph from the bottom. Abaya was walking one day, and he saw this young couple entering a wooded area. And whatever, by his observation, they weren't married to each other. And he thought they had illicit intentions, so he began to follow after them. And his intention was, if they tried, wanted to do something, he would interfere. It wouldn't happen. They went through this wooded area, and they came out the other side. And there was a crossroad, and each one went in their own direction. And they thanked the other one, because it's frightening to walk through a wooded area by yourself. So they had company. So Abaya came home and he was depressed. Gemara says, why? He says, if I would have been one of them, if it was me, he says, I would have been Nichshel Baavera. Now this couple was a very unlettered couple. Why do I say they were unlettered? Tosfos says in the beginning of Masechet Nida that if you go to a secluded place, even if it's outdoors, you're over Yichud. So they didn't know, they pushed, violated Yichud by going into this place. They didn't know Abaya was going to follow after them. So they were unlettered people. And Abaya said that if it would have been me, I would have fallen. And he was depressed. Until there came Ahu Sovo, this elderly Talmud Chochem, met him by the door of his house, and he told him, "Kol agodom mechavero yitzro godom imeno. The greater you are, the more the yitzro hara bothers you." That's the Gemara. So I asked myself one very simple question when I learned this Gemara. And it's very instructive, Rabbi, it's relevant to what we're talking about today. So what was the big greatness of Abaya? Mora de Kula Talmud, right? There's come on, not a page in Shas where you don't have Abaya. Havayis Abaya Varova, we describe Shas. So what was the greatness of Abaya? If an unlettered couple wasn't Nichshel, and he would have been Nichshel, so what was his greatness? What's the greatness of Abaya? Rabbi say, you know what the greatness of Abaya was? Abaya would never put himself in. He says, if I was in that situation, I'd be nichshel. But he would never put himself in that situation. Hachacham ein avaroshei. I know what I could do. And consequently, I will never be there. That was the greatness of Abaya. It's a chacham ein avaroshei. Everything in this area of life, to be very, very careful. To be careful in our personal lives, to be careful in our association with others. You know, the Meshubba Zatzal had a very, very big chumrah. But it's a wise chumrah. Meshubba was extremely machmer that in a work setting, or in a setting with women, you shouldn't call them by their first name. Be very formal in the way you address them. And it's interesting, I was riding one day with a Chassidish Sefer that I know, he's about 90 years old today. He says, my daughter once worked for a man in Manhattan. He's a very kluge yid, this yid, a Galatiani yid. Ooh, is he smart. He had a Talmud Chacham, and he says, her boss was a big, you know, very, very careful in these areas. He says, I never called her by her first name. Heard the same thing from him. You know, I go once to a chasana and a guy comes over and he gives me shalom. So, listen, I'm a decent guy, he gives me shalom, I gave him back shalom. But in this world, knowledge is power. And what you don't let on is far better than what you do let on. So I didn't tell the guy that, listen, I know the book on you, which I did. I didn't let on. But I see the guy. I'd met the guy once before in life too. That's where he, you know, I think he recognized me. We're sitting shiva. And I went to be Menachem Oval in that house, and he was sitting shiva there. Now, what's the story of this guy's life? He's no different than anybody in this room, Rabbi Yisai. No different than anyone that will walk into this shul. But he was a married man. He had a wife, probably a family. And one fine day he decided that, you know, he liked the secretary. So he divorced his wife and married a secretary. That was the story of this guy's life. Are any of us above it? No. If we're not careful, Rabbi Yisai, we don't know where we're going to wind up. Remember what Abaya told us. When we put ourselves in situations, we don't know what's going to happen. But if we have some sense and some Yirah Shamayim, so we avoid situations, we stay clear. And that's what's demanded of us, Rabbi Yisai, in this area. It's a dangerous world out there. And most of my listeners here are still too young to know how dangerous it is. Yes, the guys 20 years older than you that have been in the corporate world for 20 years, what it's like. What the nisyanis that are bound are around them. What goes on around them. And what they see regularly. Yeah, talked a little bit that there are vestos kavua. It happens sometimes. Usually, as I said, most women don't remain with a vest kavua regularly. But once in a while, they have a vest kavua. So, how do you break a vest kavua? So you have to have three cycles in a row where you don't have that vest. So that breaks the kvias. Oh. That breaks the kviyas. Now, the problem with a vest kavua is the following. A vest kavua bites. If you go back once to that, for example, let's say she had 3 months in a row, she happened to be 32 in the daytime. And now for the last 5 years, she's been all over the map, but she's never been on 32. Now, 5 years later, she hits 32 again. It's a vest kavua. You have to break it 3 times. It's a strange thing about vest kavua. I was once speaking with Rav David Feinstein about it. And he says, the seichel ought to be that it should have a time limit, he says. But he says he hasn't found one. He asked me if I found one in my real. I told him I also didn't find yet anyone that delimited it, said that it has a share to it. So that's one of the reasons you need to keep a written cheshbon, because you don't know when it's going to come back.
That's even lahakam.
What?
That would be even lahakam.
I'm not sure. You asked me a question, I'll have to look. Certainly lahakam, I'm not convinced. Now, what I want to mention to you is also just, you know, women that get involved with hormones for luteinizing and all different aspects, whether, you know, usually for birth control, but the delivery method is not significant here. In other words, whether we're dealing with shots, whether we're dealing with pills, whether we're dealing with maneuvering, whatever, luteinizing and all the ways that they work. The hormonal system in the body is a very sensitive one. And has tremendous, tremendous feedback systems in the body to monitor it and to make adjustments to the proper level of hormones so the system should function smoothly. And when we throw in hormones from the outside, the body is a little bit in shock. It doesn't know what happened. And it takes a while to figure out what exactly is going on and what hormonal levels it has to operate at. Now, because of that, any time that you start with any hormones, you can have breakthrough bleeding, and sometimes all over the map. So, therefore, because of that, Ramosha Tzal held that when you start with it, that you have to wear white the whole first month that you start and check it each day to see if there's any unusual staining, even less than a penny's worth. If there is a stain that's less than a penny's worth, he spoke about the Shaila with Rav Azriel Orbach Shlita by Vegan. He told me that a person, if in that situation, should do a bedika, and that should determine their status. If the bedika is clean, so don't worry about the kesem. If the bedika is not clean, so that'll be kaveya. And also, Rav Moshe held that the first month, koydim tashmish, they should do a bedika. It doesn't have to be the last moment, because of the fact that hormonal things do cause staining in some women. Now, the postpartum, what they use with the mini pill that you use postpartum, I had a doctor, an OBGYN, a from one, researched this for me, and he came back to me. The statistics are that 32% of women are on it stain on the postpartum, on the what's called the mini pill that they use postpartum. So that you have to be particularly careful about. The regular pills also have some concern with the regular pills that you take, which have estrogen. The mini pill has only progesterone. The pills with estrogen have an 8% chance of staining. So you do have to be careful, but the concern is less in that regard than it would normally be. Believe me, listen, I have it all the time now. I'm telling you. Yeah, I know. It's Nebrovin isn't, but it's a very sizable meal today. As I said, the statistics are about 1/3 of the people have serious, you know, staining issues.
On the progesterone
only one, yeah. On the estrogen, I tell them it does have some effects. I tell people to check. You know, if it won't have an effect, it's not going to have an effect, and you're not going to have a problem from it. You should wear white, yeah. There are times I have a parade. Of people coming to me with this problem. Sometimes it's quiet, and sometimes I just can't get rid of the people fast enough for the next one to come with the same problem. That the hormones are driving them nuts. Now, what you could do, and this year I could speak to your doctor about, what's come to the fore in about the last year and a half, 2 years, is a very interesting idea. Why don't they give the regular pill when a woman is nursing? So the reason for that is because the estrogen interferes with the lactation, with the milk. Now what they've discovered is it has no harmful effect on the baby. It's just that the woman will not have enough milk. So they've discovered that once the nursing is well established, that estrogen will not be harmful to the milk flow. So you can speak to your own doctor about it, and you may be best off, you know, as soon as you can get off the mini pill and go back to the regular pill, that you'll make sure your life is going to be a lot simpler. Yeah, I think that's enough for tonight. We'll meet again next week. We'll talk about it. Tonight, Rabbi Isai.
The ability to count the daily occurrence.